The SparkFile podcast may contain profanity and other adult content.
Please use your discretion.
When I bump into something that inspires me, I dump it in my SparkFile.
SparkFile.
Could be something that I want to make or how I want to be. I pump it in my SparkFile.
SparkFile.
I jump into my SparkFile.
Welcome to the Spark File, where we believe that everyone is creative, but smart creative people don't go it alone.
I'm Laura Camion.
And I'm Susan Blackwell. If you're joining us for the first time, welcome. But you may be asking yourself, what exactly is a Spark File? Hey, where do I get one? What I file in it? These are such good questions, friends, and we actually do have answers.
We're so full of questions today.
I know.
A Spark File is a place where you consistently collect all of your inspirations and fascinations. And if you're like us and you're making stuff all the time, you know that sometimes the wellspring of inspiration can run a little dry. We're here to refill it.
We are. We are on the lookout for fresh ideas, images, and inspiration that spark our creativity and pique our curiosity. Things that inspire us to get up off of our asses and make things like this very podcast.
Or a nonprofit organization working to end harassment in all its forms.
Or a program to teach folks how to safely intervene in the presence of xenophobic harassment, online harassment, LGBTQ plus harassment, all the harassments, baby.
Or a science-based curriculum that provides concrete tools to help people better manage and make sense of pain and trauma in this moment. On today's Makersode, we're going to talk to someone who truly sparks us about something that truly sparks us.
And that someone and that something is Dax Valdez of Holla Back. Dax, welcome to
The Spark File.
Hi, Dax.
Hello. Thank you for having me. It's so good to connect in this space.
I know. We're so happy to hear your voice and to see your face through the magic of technology. We're so fucking thrilled that you're joining us today. But we're going to start with the basics. We always start with the basics.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you right now? And how are you right now? But for reals.
I am joining you in this virtual space from the traditional land of the Lenape in New York City. I'm up in Washington Heights.
Yes.
Nice.
I'm good. And then I will say, like, on a scale of 1 to 10, I usually average like a 9. But
that's pretty good.
The well is a little low right now. So I would say like 6¾ stars, a la Ed McMahon from Star Search. But
Ed McMahon.
We just like narrowed
yes.
The
6¾.
Oh, I love
we
it.
You know that. Life right now, both globally and individually, can be complicated, mm-hmm. but we are happy that you're here. And it will be interesting to see during the course of your time in the Spark File virtual space, if we can get those numbers up. Who knows? We can't That's make right. any promises. We cannot make you any promises.
I would say, you know, it's like the gas gauge is filling up slowly. It is. I'm happy to be here and speaking with you both.
We'll keep checking in on those
Great.
Numbers.
Yeah.
That's and back to you, Laura.
We'll report back. Dax. Before we go any further with those numbers or anything else, we do have a request. The Spark File price of admission. Can you tell us a creative risk that you have taken recently?
Yeah. So in December, I was part of my friend Sarah Bryan's and her creative partner, Shiloh Gooden. They launched what they call the Collectus Momentum Pod. So they have a group for artists flying solo to be accountable for the work. So setting the intention
yes.
forth and meeting weekly meetings for this pod. And then you have a project or an idea that you want to bring, you submit for feedback, you go back and iterate. And it was a couple of sessions. what I got out of it was the idea for a podcast, actually.
Yes,
and then
yes.
I had my whole season lined up, and then work really took over. So that is currently on the back burner. So I was going to be interviewing Filipino theater artists and then expand to Filipinos in all creative fields, not just theater arts, but visual arts, culinary arts, and wherever those networking things would take me. It's still there, and hopefully I will be able to come back to it soon.
Jax, you have to make this podcast. I mean, you don't have to
do
anything.
This is a must do.
But we hope that you make this podcast. We are rooting for you in this podcast.
Thank you.
I think you are officially admitted into the Spark file.
Well done.
Well done.
Well done.
And for people who don't know you well, how do you identify creatively?
Oh man, that is always like
the stumper.
The kicker, because then I am a theatrical multi-hyphenate.
Yes.
I don't know. Yes. So I have my training as an actor, and then I moved to the city and I was auditioning. That was not fulfilling. So I started getting an opportunity to choreograph something. So I started doing some kids shows and then some summer stock and then some regional theater. And then I also started being a teaching artist at the same time.
Yes.
And applying all of that. And that's where I met Susan at the Vineyard. I was the education associate for a couple of seasons. I've had a lot of jobs at the same time. So just hopping from one place to another, the occasional acting gigs here and there. And then the next iteration of work was with Hollaback.
So yes, Dax, can you tell us about Hollaback?
Yes.
What is Hollaback? Who created it? Why were they moved to create it? Start at the beginning. What is Hollaback?
So Hollaback is a global people-powered movement, and our mission is to end harassment in all its forms. And we do believe that everyone deserves to be who they are, wherever they are.
Yes.
So it was founded in 2005 by a group of folks in New York City who wanted to end harassment. And so they started this as a blog post, and they were collecting and reading these stories of harassment, and they were thinking, how can we end this?
Wow.
So they were mapping all of these reports. They found out a couple of things. One of them was that women tended to experience harassment more than men. And the common experience of people who experienced harassment, the only thing that provided relief when they experienced harassment was when somebody intervened on their behalf. And they started training people to do that. And the methodology that we use is called the 5 D's. And over the last year, we've had this partnership with Asian Americans Advancing Justice. Where we took our bystander intervention work and framed it through the lens of anti-Asian American harassment.
Yeah.
And so with that partnership, we've hit 65,000 people trained in bystander intervention over the last year.
Amazing.
Yes.
I'm going to turn back the hands of time to where I intersected with this. When this wave of violence towards Asian Americans began to really emerge, I was horrified, first of all, and then I was trying to figure out how to respond in a substantive way. And Javier Munoz, hi, Javi, shared out this link on social media for Hollaback bystander training. And I was like, what is that? And I got in the website really quick and I signed up for free bystander training. And boy, am I glad I did. This free training, it took about 1 hour of my time, and friends, it is so high quality. And to my great surprise, one of the excellent facilitators was our very own Dax Valdez, who, as you just heard, I know from way back in the day. And Dax, I said this to you personally, but now I want the world to know that Hollaback training is so well designed, and you and your co-presenter, Marita, you were both so good. There is no question at the end of this. I just want you to bask in the glow of this praise.
Thank you. I received that. I will pass that on. It really is a privilege to be doing this work right now. right now, especially right now.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you wonder sometimes if you're doing enough.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And that was answered for me in March when we were rolling out more of these trainings.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I have the opportunity to hold space for folks. And that is not something I take lightly.
Yeah.
It's powerful. And then, you know, what we teach and what we want to share is these are all actionable items. We are all capable of doing these strategies and taking care of each other.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are hurting right now. And I get it. What friends are sharing, what our attendees are sharing in the chat. It's nothing new, but it's like also they're not alone in their experience.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
being able to be there and receive that is something.
It must also feel good to know that 65,000 people now, soon to be many more, are walking this earth with, you know, with a new lens to see it through and with a new ability to help when they can. That has to feel significant.
Absolutely.
I want to speak for myself and the listeners who are perhaps listening, who attempted to sign up for these classes. And I mean, literally like within, I don't know, half an hour from when Susan told me about it. And I had heard about it from two other people. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to sign up, and done. Like there was no dunzo, no chance of getting in. Standing room only. So, I have some questions about the training, but I also want, for my own being, can you tell us all, like, if we have we missed the boat on this?
No, please check out our website, ihollaback.org. We're working to roll out more public trainings. These trainings are free to anyone who wants to come and learn how to be a good bystander. So that is also one of the most amazing things about this organization. They're providing free training to the public.
Yeah.
And I remember I remember taking it the first time, and I was amazed.
It's an action-packed hour. It really is. Like, it goes by very quickly. It is beautifully crafted curriculum, and it's super interactive. Yeah, it's really, there's a reason why there's a demand. It's really good.
This is exciting. Can you like dig in and tell us a little bit more about that curriculum? You mentioned 5 D's.
Yeah. So again, like these are all real simple strategies that we have available to us. They don't cost anything. TSA won't examine your bag for them.
So a D doesn't stand for a detaser. It stands for something else. Okay.
The first one is distract. And you're simply just creating a distraction to de-escalate a situation. Mm-hmm. The second one is delegate. And this is just asking somebody for help. Third is document. So we always want you to prioritize your safety. So if you feel safe, you can consider taking a photo or a video of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then giving that footage to the person who experienced the harassment, if it wasn't you.
Uh-huh.
And then delay. Delay is something that everyone can do. It is simply just checking in on the individual who is experiencing that disrespect and making an offer of how you can support them in that moment. And then direct is speaking up about the harassment or the disrespect when it's happening.
Like directly to the harasser potentially?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, in this current climate, everybody is thinking, if I'm going to be engaging in direct, it's going to be some escalated physical moments, but it doesn't have to be. It can be a conversation. You overhear something inappropriate, and then you just address that statement or that joke in the moment, and hopefully it is like, oh yeah, that wasn't cool. Thank you, and then move on.
Are these like steps, or is it more like a menu of like assess the situation?
It's a menu.
Okay. Interesting. And do you have, you personally have a superpower? Like, do you have one that you like go to, the one I feel most comfortable doing, or does it vary?
I am a distract. I don't mind trying to break the tension, you know, if it's not too serious, something silly. Yeah.
Yeah.
But now I'm aware of all of these other strategies. Mm-hmm. I got to use delay last week. I was in Costco. Super crowded, the one on East 117th. And then there was an altercation by the front. Somebody got pushed, and then one of the employees got spat on. And I wasn't able to, there were too many people around.
Yeah.
She was fine, like bodily she was fine. On the way out the warehouse, I saw her again. I just went up to her and said, "Are you okay from earlier?" And mm-hmm. she looked at me for a minute and she goes, "Oh yeah, I'm fine." She smiled and she said, "Thank you for asking."
Mm-hmm. So that was delay.
That was delay.
Yeah.
And that small acknowledgement of what happened, and also just seeing her smile was also like, okay,
yeah,
she is good. I just want to make sure you're good. I'm good.
And that reinforces for that person that like the person who was harassing them was an anomaly, and the rest of us see what was wrong with that behavior. Yeah.
If there hadn't been a bunch of people crowded in that Costco, and you could have gotten to the sort of the situation faster, you said that you're a distract. You're mm-hmm. a distractor. That's your superpower. How might you have played it differently if you had been able to get there more quickly?
If it was possible, maybe I would have maybe taken a shopping cart and maybe wedged my way through them. I'm sorry, excuse me. You're blocking the way. Everything good? And then maybe just check in on with the person who is being harassed. Maybe just give them a nod.
Uh-huh.
Look at the person creating the conflict. Just give them a nod. You know.
Uh-huh.
You're good. Am I on the way? Okay. So give me 1 second. Let's move. And then maybe that is enough opportunity for the tension to diffuse.
The energy to change.
Yeah.
And get redirected a little bit.
Yeah.
And then other people can step in and just like even create some more space, get the two parties apart. That would be my go-to in that situation if I was able to do that. But, you know, you think about it afterwards. In the moment, sometimes you're just like, oh, what do I do?
Uh-huh.
You know, so, but there are ways to overcome that moment. You're like, okay, acknowledge it and then take a deep breath and if you're comfortable, go for it.
Mm-hmm. You were talking about in the training, you offered something that I was like, man, it almost sounds cinematic, but I can totally see how it would work. If you see something like that going down, like if you have a smoothie or something or a drink in your hand, dropping the drink, like if you're on the subway, like creating something, a kerfuffle that just redirects the energy. It's a little bit like a magician. Kind of being like, look over here for enough time to just sort of break that little harassment mm-hmm. force field of energy.
Or something like a Mr. Bean type situation where like if you were
of course,
fully,
Mr. Bean,
fully like confident in your physical presence and you're going through and you're disrupting things and it's like, oh, that's me? Oh, sorry. Okay, well, you know, mm-hmm. I'm just going to keep going. People are going to track that and then forget about like what was going on or I forget that I was mad at this person or, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
I don't have that kind of confidence to move through the world like that, but that is a great like way to distract. And then I always say like, if you've been on the subway in New York City, what time is it? It's showtime. That is a great example of distraction. So
this reminds me of something, which is this is distinct from harassment. What you are doing is bystander training to intervene in harassment. But I remember being on a very crowded subway car and there was a woman on the train. Another woman got onto the train and very quickly there was just sort of, you're in my space, you're in my space. And it escalated into a physical fight quicker than you can blink. It escalated, watched it all happen. And a man on the train essentially created this distraction, but he basically talked one of the women very quickly. It was amazing how quickly he did this. He talked her back out the still open door of the subway, got her onto the platform and the doors shut. So he essentially separated the two people and broke the energy. It was one of the most masterful things I'd ever seen. And watching it, I was like, this was a full-blown fight with people like, they were falling into other passengers on the train. And I couldn't help but think, this is not the first time this guy has done this. Like, this guy is a professional distractor.
Yeah.
And he was a stranger to them?
He was a stranger to both of them.
Wow.
It was yeah. amazing. And I when you were teaching the other day and you were going through, Dax, these different D's, I don't want to say them again, distract, delegate, document, delay, and direct. I was like, I am not, I would love to be that confident to be a distractor. I don't know, maybe if the moment was right and it really seemed like the right thing to do, but I was like, oh, I know I'm a delay. I know I can swing back and make space for people and care for them and let them know that the world isn't made up of harassing assholes. I know I can do that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm a direct. I don't know if I could just step up and be like, I'm sorry, what did you say? Oh, tell me why that joke is funny. Oh,
yeah.
Like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm that brave. But it was interesting to sort of test out like what those superpowers might be for the individual. Laura, when you hear these, do you feel like you have a go-to superpower or superpowers?
Well, I'm just thinking about it. And I do think... I'm no Mr. Bean, but I'm like, I could distract. I think that I have actually, I'm thinking of times that I may have done it like without being aware of what I've done. But when you describe that scenario, I think I would be able to walk up and be like, oh, excuse me. Like if that was someone who worked there, be like, can you help me find the whatever? Oh, I totally exactly. interrupted you guys. Sorry, but I just really need this can of beans or, you know, whatever. I feel I don't know, it's a little Midwestern sort of quality that like some people kind of think I'm not up to any mischief, but maybe I am. They don't know. So I feel like I could probably pull off some distraction. But the other, I do think I'm with you on document. I'm curious if this comes up for other people. Document gives me anxiety, even though we're living in a world where it is so important. Thank goodness people have documented things. And I feel like, oh my gosh, I don't know that I would think about, let me get out my phone and take a photo or take a video. I'm just curious, like if you have had discussions with people more, like, can you say more about that document piece?
I will say one instance that comes to mind that was Darnella Fraser.
Oh,
her video of what happened is bringing some justice to George Floyd's family.
Yeah. First of all hail Darnella Fraser.
Yes.
It is an amazing thing that a then 17-year-old had the presence of mind to get that phone out. And I just want to say, I'm thankful that she had that storage on her phone, that space, that her phone was charged. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
That her phone was charged. Like there's so many ways this could have, she could keep her hands steady. Like there's so many ways that this could have gone differently. So all hail, all praise.
Absolutely.
We've talked about her so much in our house this week and just how remarkable and world-changing what she did was.
Yes.
So I just want to say that. But I also want to say, to bring it back to the work that Dax and Holla Back is doing, the thing that I love about it is, Dax, I feel like what you're doing with Holla Back is giving people options in the cool light of day when we can take it in so that if/when we are present to these circumstances, we can dig, take a breath, center, dig deep, and have superpowers at our disposal.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And I actually mean this like in a positive way that with this menu now, my mind can work through these. Like, what can I do? I can do this, 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 this. If those are not available to me, I can do this. And that's so essential. It's so essential just to have those. Just to have that realization that I have options.
Yeah.
Could we go back and we'll go through the 5 D's again and just give us, we'll slow it down a little bit and give us a few examples So we'll start again with distract. So we talked about Laura could be a Mr. Bean and reach for a canned beans. Like there's ways.
Could you help me get that box of cereal?
I don't know why I'm putting this all like Costco now.
Pull all of the cans down and be like, oops.
Yeah, oops.
Did I do that? I'm just like, Sorry, did I do that? Clean up.
But it would, I mean, we're laughing and we're joking. But if you, like, if something really was going down and you reached up, who gives a shit? If you reached up and cleared a shelf of beans or made a mess on the floor or made a big sound, that would change the energy in the moment.
That's
like,
right.
No joke. But it takes a certain boldness. But I'll tell you, that, who cares? Who cares if a bunch of beans fall? Why is it all about beans and Mr. Bean? But it's true. It's like there are these things that I think social nicety and even my own shyness.
Yeah.
I know people think when I say that, they think I'm full of beans, but I really am like a very shy person. And I think, well, what's the big deal if you like drop a Starbucks and it sprays everywhere and everybody jumps back and goes, oh, that would change the course potentially of someone's life.
Yeah.
Like
pay
some dry cleaning bills and have people think you're insane for a minute and change the course of somebody's life. Okay. So what are some other examples of distraction that we can just put into our toolkit?
I like to pretend I know somebody and see a stranger in public. And if there's something happening, oh my gosh, hey, Laura, you're on my online yoga class, right? How are you? Or you just strike up an immediate conversation. Oh my goodness, it's so great to see you again.
You're right, do that with the person who is being harassed, experiencing the harassment.
Yeah, that way you're focusing positive energy on them, and you can also, if you're comfortable, move your body to block the person who's creating the harassment. And it's just like, oh my gosh, thank you. Oh. Hi, thanks. And then maybe, you know, the other person will catch on. Do you need help? You want to get out of here? All right, let's go walk through the corner. All right, thanks. See you later. And then just, you know, get on out of there and make sure that person feels safe and cared for in that moment.
Yes.
But then, you know, you could also just like distract by, you know, if it's something that's happening like in a Zoom meeting, maybe you put up a silly filter or – you know, you blitz out or you make a loud sound so that it is like, wait, what's going on? If there is something happening in the chat or if, and then maybe other people will catch on, not necessarily distract, but maybe they will like directly address the behavior that's going on. Hey, you guys cut it out. Whatever it is, right? Let's be respectful in this space.
Yeah.
Please call people by their requested titles. So again, that's super, super creative.
Get creative.
I'm not even kidding when I say if a situation like that happened, this sounds so ludicrous, but if you made like a huge fart sound, I know that sounds stupid, but it's sort of just like breaking the energetic flow, disrupting it with something else. So that could be something silly and loud or something that just makes people's heads turn. Or like you were saying, Dax, this is the part of me where I'm like, Susan, you're an actor, you know how to improvise. So to be able to walk up to somebody and say, oh my gosh, I haven't seen you since the reunion. Yeah. How are you? This jackass can do that. I can do that.
Yeah.
And another layer of this that I just want to add that I'm sort of observing in myself. Look at me getting all excited. Another piece of this that I observe in myself is when I just think of myself as a human being, I think of myself as being introverted and shy and maybe not capable of these bolder moves that we're talking about. But when I think of myself as a teacher, somebody who makes space and is always looking to elevate people and protect them. When I think of myself of taking control of a room like a teacher or like a moderator, a facilitator, a teaching artist, then I'm like, I feel like Clark Kent turns into Superman. Mm. So I'm like, then be your teacher self, Susan. Be that version of you. Show up that way. I think that is a distinction that I will also put in my toolkit.
You're delegating to yourself. Essentially, you're just giving yourself permission. I know what these are. Yeah, I can do it.
Yeah.
Here I go.
Yeah.
I was just going to add that, that also, so yes to the teacher energy, but I also am like, hey, if anyone grew up in a family environment where, you know, the adults at any point started to get, you know, rowdy and the energy was changing, like any number of things, like kids do it so naturally, like that distract and change the energy to make sure that either parents aren't fighting or, you know, Uncle Johnny who's come by isn't going to disrupt, you know, the happy household. It's like, it's almost second nature in kids who've grown up in families like that. And you know, having said what I said earlier, like that might be why that's something that feels kind of natural to me.
Bystander intervention during the holidays, super crucial. All right. So
yes,
it's just like, all right, it might get a little tense right before dessert. So
that's right.
You could
just drop the turkey on the floor.
Exactly.
Drop the turkey.
That's exactly it.
So delegate. Tell us some more examples of how we can delegate.
So delegate is just basically asking people to help you out in the moment. So if you are not comfortable being direct, you could delegate to the big burly guy on public transportation. Hey, you see that? Block those doors. We don't want to let this guy get away. Hey, can you take a photo or a video of what's going on the other side of the car? Hey, can you go tell the train conductor what's going on?
Nice.
And then, hey, you know what I mean? Like making sure that we're orchestrating success for the person who is being harassed, that we are able to take care of them.
Yeah.
So speaking to what your reticence was, Laura, earlier about like, I don't know if I could do that. But if you can tell people what to do, what you need them to do in the moment, because maybe you have a clear head at that time and just be like, I can see all of this going out in the different variations like a chess master, but also just making sure that we're covering all our bases. And it doesn't have to be anything big. It could also be like super subtle. Hey, it looks like, you know, that guy keeps staring at that woman. Hey, friend, do you think you can just go and drop your phone right between them and pick it up and stand in between them? I'm going to see if we can just create a little space between them. And then I'm going to go tell this guy over here to keep an eye out on him and tell him what's going on.
And that doesn't have to be if you're with people, that doesn't have to be you delegating to strangers. Mm. It could be like, if there's a little cluster of people that, you know, business colleagues or friends coming home after like a thing, that's so interesting. So if you can tap into the superpower of being that chess master boss to be able to say, That's great. Delegate.
And then seeing other people do it, I think much like your subway story, Susan, and you're watching that guy be Captain Distractor, and you had that realization. I was like, oh yeah, I could do that. But that he's also been witness to so many similar things like that is his go-to. It's like, But I will say, like, what works for one person may not work for another. So that's why there is this menu to choose from. And you can take as little or as much as you want from that and apply it to the situation.
Yes. I like a combo platter.
Totally.
I like I'm going to delegate.
Yes.
You document this and I'm going to distract. But I want you to get my distraction documented even.
Yeah, get a good shot.
Yeah.
Am I in the shot?
Back to one. I'm sorry. Like, you just literally just like pretend you're filming something in the subway and you're like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Hey, mister, you're in the shot. Can you move away, please?
Amazing.
Thank you. All right. Action.
Yes.
Amazing.
It's my first time on the subway. I just wanted to get a really good photo.
I'm from Kansas.
For my TikTok.
That's
or right. For my Instagram. No shade to those who are like, avid TikTokers.
That's right. That's right. No shame.
You're saving lives. You're saving lives. So document, that includes, it could be photographs of, you know, harassers, perpetrators. It can be video. Everybody has a video camera in their pocket now. Is there anything else to be said about document that we want to explore any further?
You can also write stuff down. Write down exactly what happened.
That's right.
Who said what?
Ye olde pen and paper styly.
Ye old thumbs.
Wow. Or now that
like thumbs on keyboards or your feather quill, yes. However you like to roll. Yes.
Take it out of my, the plume out of my hat. And you're writing down everything that happened, like who was there, who said what, including like how you maybe felt if it happened to you. But if you're writing it down for somebody, it's like 59th and 8th, man in red shirt yelled at woman in with the green bag. And then you could maybe just give that to the individual and as a reminder of like what that documentation, this is what happened for them there. And any footage that you create, we encourage you to give it to the person who is experiencing the harassment so they can decide what to do with that.
Yeah.
So essentially, we don't want to just be social justice warriors and share that without their consent. Because we want to be taking care of that person in that moment. So maybe they're not comfortable being displayed across all the social media channels.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or even having, as you were saying in the training, even having you think you might be doing a great thing by taking that footage straight to the police, but that may not be the news station.
Hey, NBC, I've got this. Yeah, you know, maybe not the right thing for that person.
Exactly. But also then you can screenshot what's going on if you're getting harassing like texts or emails. And then you have a record of what that has been looking like for you, if it is you who is being harassed. And also, it looks the same, and then it's not the same for an individual. So we're all experiencing a range of disrespect and harassment. So screenshotting would be a useful tool with document.
Yeah.
Great. Great. And then delay. So delay, tell me if I'm right about this, is after the event, the harassment has occurred, circling back to the person who was on the receiving end of it and checking in with them, making sure they're okay, providing what support you are able to in that moment, what it feels appropriate. Am I getting that
exactly.
right?
Exactly. This is like it's that caring moment. This is something that everyone can do. And, you know, like thinking in like musical theater terms, right? This would be,
Dax, lay it out.
This would be a song, you know, saying like, I saw that wasn't right. How can I help you?
Well,
are you okay? Yeah. So it is like whatever that person needs in that moment. So, hey, you want me to wait with you until your friend comes? Or, you know, it was a great example from our executive director in a training that I sat in on hers of using it with somebody who may not speak the same language as you. You can wait around with them. You can delegate to other people nearby. Maybe they speak the same language as the person who was just experiencing the harassment. Again, making sure that we're taking care of them at that moment.
Here's me. This is my go-to superpower here. Like, I feel like I'd be really good at this.
Yeah.
I'm struck by, we did a spark on the podcast recently, Dax, about the stress response cycle. Mm. And the stress response cycle is like when something stressful happens, in order to avoid burnout, you want to make sure that you continue moving through the stress response cycle. And there's a lot of different things that can complete the stress response cycle. It's hard to say stress response cycle many times in a row. But one of the things that can complete the stress response cycle is having just light, positive interaction. Doesn't have to be deep, with strangers. Saying things like,
I like
it's
your
a beautiful
top.
Day today, isn't it? I really I love your jean jacket. Things like that, because it sends our nervous system a message that the world is actually, that there are pockets of the world that are actually safe and kind and compassionate. And I feel like something like this, now it may not completely resolve whatever trauma the person on the receiving end of the harassment experienced, but I do think there's something about that, just like very, it doesn't even have to be prolonged, but just like that light acknowledgement mm-hmm. and kindness that would begin repairing the nervous system after mm-hmm. a stressful thing like that.
Yeah, it's a validation, right? So
yeah,
even if you don't say anything and you know, maybe you like step off the train and the woman you turn to and you just maybe give a nod and a little wave as the doors yes. close, she'll remember yeah. that as she continues on her subway ride. So, and it is just like, yeah, that didn't just happen to me in a vacuum. Somebody else saw that.
That's right.
And it's just the acknowledgement right. of, okay, then I am not alone in the world.
That's right.
You're being recognized.
Yeah.
And even if there are no words, it's like, oh yeah, she did check on me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that takes us to the fifth D, direct. And direct means it's not direct as in like I'm a director who's delegating. It's direct, like directly
addressing,
communicating mm-hmm. and addressing the harasser. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Or the, whatever the action is, whether it is the person creating the harassment or the behavior that they have exhibited. So there are ways to do this as well. Like, you know, hey, that's racist.
Uh-huh.
You could yeah. also just state it like that. But a lot of folks don't feel comfortable being that direct.
Right, so direct.
You could also do it by naming the behavior that you observe. Hey, they look uncomfortable. Leave them alone.
Uh-huh.
Or, again, in those intimate conversations, maybe it's something that you overhear in the grocery store, or maybe it's something that you're back in the office and you overhear an exchange and your spidey sense tingles and you're like, wait a minute, that didn't sound right. Then you can turn to them, hey, I heard that you said this, I'm hearing it like this. Is that what you mean? And hopefully that's an opportunity for somebody to self-correct.
Yeah.
And you don't actually have to accuse them of anything. And also that's also a choice, you know, do you want to have this conversation? Do you want to call in this person and have them sit in this moment with you? And if you do, then like more power to you. And that is an opportunity for growth through that discomfort. Yeah. And hopefully it is like growth for good.
Yeah.
So again, that's scaled on like the one-to-one, just like super casual to super...
Yeah.
Setting that boundary. And then once you tell them what you need them to do and why they're doing is wrong or whatever it is making you feel uncomfortable, you don't have to give them any more attention than that. You turn your attention to the person that they were disrespecting
mm-hmm.
and then you get them out of that situation and then get them to safety.
And delay.
Say, she looks uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Leave them alone. How about you? Are you okay? Should we get out of here? Or if they say, no, I'm fine. Mm. Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you know, like, cause maybe it is an exchange between friends or partners and we don't know their story, but mm-hmm. we have done our bit as a bystander. We see something that we think might be wrong. We've asked. And in that instance, she said no, or they said no. And we have to take them at their word for that. But if it is something where it is harassment that is totally, totally unwanted, okay, you've set that boundary with that person. You're turning your attention to the other individual. Are you okay? Let's get out of here. I'll walk with you down the block, or I'll wait with you until your Uber comes, or whatever you mm-hmm. need in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love that little addendum that you just shared, Dax, of are you sure? Just that little double yeah. check-in. And it reminds me of when, you know, when somebody falls down in uh-huh. public mm-hmm. and like on the sidewalk in New York and you know, a bunch of strangers turn and see them. I have developed this habit where I if I'm close by and I'm the first one there, I say, hold on, don't get up, because people's tendency, they're in shock, they're embarrassed, and they want to mm-hmm. pop back up, which is not always the mm-hmm. best move. And I'm like, hold on a second. let's just take a breath and just, can you do a quick, just scan your body and just see if everything is okay before you get up. And that to me is another version of the double check, just because it's, these events can be shocking. They can make people feel embarrassed. They can sort of take them out of their body, and to just do that double check. And once you've done everything that you can, like you were saying, Dax, then you can proceed from there. And like Laura was saying, do you circle back and have a delay moment with them? But I'm a fan of that. Let's just take a breath. Are you sure?
Are you sure? Let's take a breath. That is like delay, direct, in combination, because you've gone to help them.
Oh, so I can direct.
Yeah.
I was just going to say that the double check is important, because we are so habituated to say, I'm fine. You know, when people ask, are you fine? Like that knee jerk reaction is, I'm fine. But if you are going to ask again and really seem to be open to me saying something other than I'm fine, then you may get a more, you know, closer to the truth answer, like maybe not so fine or not great, or yeah, I would like to get out of here and I could use your help.
Yeah.
Dax,
I hope that this is obvious to people, but just in case it's not, will you say a little bit more about why this work matters so much right now in the world that we're living in?
Globally, we've all had this experience. And then in the US, the resurgence of Black Lives Matter under this global pandemic, that social justice movement was so hard to ignore. And
yeah,
knowing that humans have such a great capacity to care for one another, and it has just been, you know, we're losing sight of one another, I think. And then at the start of this year, with the rise in anti-Asian bias, it also makes it doubly hard to ignore that we do need to make change in all aspects of our life. And this is a great way to start doing that. It is small, actionable steps that everybody can do, no matter if you're Black, no matter if you're Asian, or part of the LGBTQ community, the Muslim or Jewish community. We have all experienced some form of harassment and discrimination, and knowing what that feels like and seeing it happen to somebody else hopefully should activate that feeling within us of,
yeah,
this hurts. I don't want anybody else to hurt. So what can I do to help and support you in this moment?
The empathy, the compassion.
Yeah.
You know, I'll say it, I said it before, and I just want to say it again, because it's sort of coming into focus in my mind. As somebody who is, can be, and I know when people hear this, they're used to seeing me in a professional context, but when I'm not in a professional context, I can be very shy and withdrawn. I live on the side of a mountain. That's what I'm talking about. Okay. So that version of me can sometimes find themselves in situations like this. And I think what I need to ask of myself is, in situations like this, I must be my highest self. I must be acting from my bravest self, my most intuitive self, like that highest vibration version of myself. That's what and when I think of being a teacher, that's what I think of. So I'm just kind of putting this together in real time. Thank you for going along on this journey with me.
You ask about risks.
Yeah.
So every time that you intervene, essentially it's a risk.
Yeah.
Right. So we're taking a chance that we can make a difference, and we're taking a chance on helping this individual in need at this moment. So it is a brave thing to do. And we should give ourselves permission to use our voices.
Dax, can you tell us one more time, how can people find Holla Back?
iHollaBack.org, I-H-O-L-L-A-B-A-C-K.org. much like Gwen Stefani's song, but with an I in front of it.
Great. Just how are your Ed McMahon numbers now, Dax? Just check it in. How are the numbers?
Drum roll, please. Eight and 3/4 stars.
Right. On the rise, you say.
On the rise.
We'll call it the spark file effect. Yeah. Dax.
I have a question for you both. What has made you happy in the last 7 days?
Oh,
one thing that's made
I know immediately. I know immediately what my answer is.
Go, Laura, go.
Well, all of our listeners know this already, but we teach this, we're teaching this 6-month SparkFile, like select group creativity coaching program. And so we've got about 25 or so incredible creative people from in all areas. Yeah. We have an artistic director of her family farm, and we have people writing musicals, people creating podcasts. And we have just hit the mark right now. I'm trying to think of when this episode's going to air, but we just hit the mark in today's, as we film this or record this today, where people are sharing out like where they are in their creative project. And it is so thrilling. It's like having 25 additional projects that I'm working on, that Suze is working on, that we're like, oh my gosh, look at all of this creativity that is coming to life. Like this Kapowee moment where it is like bursting forth and starting to become real and tangible. And it's thrilling. It's absolutely thrilling to be able to like link arms. This whole group is like linked together, and we're all like, we're crossing this finish line. We are getting our creative projects across this finish line, and we're doing it together. And it feels incredible. Yeah. I could go on, but I will stop. That's what's making me joy.
Not to steal Laura's answer, but I'm going to piggyback on it and say, I had a realization that it's like being, I feel like a delivery room nurse, and it's like being present for all these beautiful babies mm-hmm. being born. And I literally, we sit in these creative shares. It's all on Zoom, but I just sit and cry because I'm just like this. I'm so moved by their work. I'm so proud of what they're doing. I'm so present to the risks that they're taking. And I feel so happy, Dax. I feel like so privileged that this is the work that we get to do in the world. So privileged to stand in the presence of people taking these.
And if I could just add that I know that we know that the work that they're doing is so good for the world. Like this work getting out into the world will be good for the world. So
Yeah. Cause it's not going to do anybody any good inside. You have to let it out.
That's right.
And I think that's one of the beauty.
You got to share the light, baby.
Yeah, that's like one of the beauteous moments of being a facilitator is when folks have that aha.
Yes.
Or that breakthrough, and you are present for that. And it's like not anything that we take credit for. It's your journey. We're just, you know, holding the door open, whether or not you are ready to step through.
That's
is
right.
Your choice, but also knowing that like,
come on into the world, little creative baby. Yeah. Come on into the world. Yeah.
It feels great.
All in your own time.
Just three little teaching artists sitting around beaming with pride. Look at the three of us.
With like 2,500 plus babies or so.
Yes.
Dax, do you want to share something that has made you happy in the past 7 days?
I framed a lot of art, and I picked it up today. I left my apartment. I got them all framed, and I'm super, super stoked about each of them. I just don't know where we're going to put them yet, but I really...
That's the next piece of fun.
Yeah. That is like so... I was like, that's one of the most grown-up things I've done in a while, so...
I don't know. You're over there changing the world with Hollaback.
Yeah.
You're a legit.
You're creating important things.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here with us today, Dax. We just really appreciate it. What a joy.
Thank you.
That, I think, is it. This episode of The Spark File was made on Muncie, Lenape, and Seminole land, and we hope that it put another bunch of sparks in your file. If there's a spark that you'd like us to explore, or if you've taken a spark and fanned it into a creative flame and you'd like to share that, you can email us at thesparkfile@gmail.com or submit it through our website, thesparkfile.com. We actually just today got this great email from, I'm going to shout her out,
Joe
Tillotson. Thank you for that email. Thank you for that great spark. We're going to rock that spark. Thank you, Joe.
Yeah, we are. And we will even happily take your feedback, but you know the price of admission. First, you have to share a creative risk that you have taken recently.
And be sure to subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe. Rate, 5-star review it. You know the drill. If you like this podcast, share it with people that you love. And if you didn't like it, I don't know, Dax, what do you say to your critics?
Share it with people you love anyways.
Oh! Yeah. Genius. If something tickles your fancy and gets your creative juices flowing, we're writing you a forever permission slip to make that thing that's been knocking at your door. It's your turn to take a spark and fan it into a flame.
You gotta take it
and make it.
Make it.
Bye.
Bye.
When I bump into something that inspires me, I dump it in my spark file. Could be something that I wanna make or how I wanna be. I pump it in my spark file. I jump into my spark file. Let's open up the spark file.